Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, I ask for your wisdom, Lord. And I ask for boldness. Heavenly Father, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit out into the congregation and saturate this church, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to understanding your word. Lord, let us learn in your presence as you talk to us today. Heavenly Father, if I deviate from the message that you've laid before us, please correct me. Please put me back on path. Tie my tongue to the words that you wish me to speak. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This morning we're going to continue with the early church. Last time we talked about how Peter and the church, they first started in people's homes, and then how they went to the temple, they went to Solomon's porch, and they found a lame man there. And he was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And this gave him an opportunity to talk to the Jews that had been coming there three times a day, every day, to talk to them about the new covenant, what had happened since Jesus Christ had died, and more importantly, been resurrected. And we read this morning how some 5,000 came to belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the Sadducees and the high priests were threatened. And they didn't know what to do about it. You know, some had thought, well, if we kill Jesus, then this band of disciples, these followers that he have, they will scatter. And indeed, that did happen at first. And Peter and all of them fled and they hid. Peter was questioned, and we know that he denied Christ three times, just as was prophesied. But the Holy Spirit came down upon him. And in the day of Pentecost, they were granted the Helper. They gave him a new boldness. So we have the disciples now preaching in the temple. And the Sanhedrin is threatened. The leaders are threatened. So they arrest him. They lay hands upon him, is what it says. And they bring him before the court. They ask him, in what name have you done these things? And we read through this morning. And Peter replied, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged by a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, or is there no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, Peter had the boldness that was granted to him by the Holy Spirit to stand before the Sanhedrin and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, the man you crucified, this was done. It wasn't over. It had just began. And Peter states this with boldness. And it surprised the Sanhedrin. It says they were taken aback because they knew that Peter, as well as John, that they were untrained, uneducated men. But they spoke with an authority. An authority that hadn't been seen in that temple save Jesus Christ for years, centuries. Yeah, they could read the word, that was passed from Moses, but they hadn't spoke the word blessed by the Holy Spirit. They hadn't proclaimed the word. And Peter and John spoke with this boldness. And it scared them. It threatened them. And they asked, "What shall we do to these men?" And they had the evidence of the lame man too in front of them. So they decided to stop the spread of this, that they would severely threaten the disciples. And they threatened them in 17, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now this is specific. This is specific because the name of Jesus Christ cuts just like a sword. You can't ride the edge of that. You're going to fall to one side or the other. In Philippians, if you would turn with me to 2. 2nd chapter of Philippians, verse 9. "Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, the Father gave Jesus a name above all other. In Revelations, he tells us it's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. In Daniel, we hear about this name that it gives dominion over all people, nations, and languages. In Matthew, we know that the Father gave him all authority. In Romans, we can read that the dead and the living are underneath his authority. And when the name of Jesus is spoke, our spirits do one of two things. For those that believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in their life, it's a sweet name. Because it's a name that brings a peace between us and the Father. It's also the name of our betrothed. And just like if we had been apart from our own mate for many, many days, we yearn for them. And when we hear their name, we get excited about it. And it fills us with joy. So when we hear the name of Jesus Christ, for those of us that believe Him as Lord and Savior, we're filled with that love, that yearning, that desire. But for those that don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their spirit rebels. Just like Satan, with his own pride, he fell. Our own spirits, if we don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, rebel against the very name. And that's what concerned them so much. You see, the Sanhedrin had the opportunity with Christ himself to recognize him as Lord and Savior. And they denied him and crucified him. And their spirits, when they heard the name of Jesus, were all riled up in rebellion. We don't want to hear that name anymore. We don't want to get underneath that authority. We don't want to bow before it. Now, the disciples had seen what had happened to Jesus. And at this point, Peter and John get threatened. We don't know if the Sanhedrin threatened their life or what, but we know that they threatened them to not speak this name. A few months prior, Peter was just asked if he knew the man, and he denied Jesus. So what do the disciples do? So they were threatened to not speak in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. Acts chapter 4, 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what it had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. You see, they're in this group of some 5,000 converted believers. There's a group here. There's a pretty substantial gathering at the temple today. And the Sanhedrin let him go after severely threatening him. Verse 23. Oh, actually, I'm going to jump to John for just a second. I'm sorry, I got off on my notes. Turn with me to John chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 19. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. You see, these are the same men that were hiding in fear. These were the same men that denied Christ, that ran when Christ had been arrested. Now they stand before the same Sanhedrin being threatened. But this time, they have the Holy Spirit with them. They have the Holy Spirit inside of them. Now back to Acts, please. Chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Okay, so they got threatened. They ran back to see all of the others, and they said, "Hey, here's what happened. They told us not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. They threatened us not once," it says, severely threatened twice. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." You see, these disciples, when they got threatened, they didn't go to the Lord, their Father, and say, "Lord, deal with these people that are threatening us. Make these threats go away." They didn't say, "Take us from this persecution or protect us from this persecution, Lord." They didn't say, "Lord, could you change their hearts so that they take these threats away?" They didn't say, "Make this easier on us. Because they had the Holy Spirit inside them. And they knew the Word, and the Word said the nations. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They knew that it had been prophesied that they would stand against them. So they didn't ask for that to change, because they fell under the obedience of the word of the Lord. And instead of praying for release, for praying from protection from the Sanhedrin, that's not what they pray. Instead, they say, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Lord, strengthen us so that we can deliver your word despite their stand." You see, that's the Holy Spirit working through them. They knew they were part of a master plan. They knew salvation was already theirs because they had accepted Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But they were there to teach others. They weren't going to water it down. Okay, we can't say that name anymore. Let's teach something else. They weren't going to make it sugar-coated so that they could appease the Sanhedrin. We can't speak about sin because it'll offend. We can't speak about the name Jesus Christ. They didn't do that. They prayed for a boldness to speak your word. They prayed for signs and wonders done through the name of Jesus Christ. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, God's power His presence, His Spirit, all things are under that authority. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and the crowd was cheering, they said, "Quiet them. Quiet these people." And Jesus said, "No, let them say this. If they didn't, the rocks would cry out." You see, all of nature responds to the authority of the Lord. And when the presence of the Holy Spirit falls upon this group and they are overcome by it, the physical surroundings react to the presence of the Lord, and the place is shaken physically. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 12. "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." They went back to the same place they were with the lame man. They went back to the same place. "Yet none of the rest dared join them." You see, there were some in the group, some in the group of followers that didn't that were too scared. They felt they had too much to lose. None of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. "You go ahead. You guys go on to the porch. That's okay. We'll stay back here." Go make a difference. We'll be here praying for you. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out onto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. His disciples went out and they continued the work that was laid before them. They preached in the name of Jesus. They healed in the name of Jesus. They delivered from unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. And they did all this boldly. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with which came and called the council together with all the elders and the children of Israel and sent them to the prison to have them brought. You see, they went back to the same spot, preaching in the name of Jesus, delivering in the name of Jesus, and they were arrested again for it. And they are put in jail at night because you can't try in the evenings. That's unjust trial. So it had to be the next morning, just like with Jesus. And an angel opens the door and lets them go. They could have fled. They could have went right back to their homes and hid. They could have left the town completely. But when you're seeing 5,000, 3,000, and more daily come needing Jesus Christ in their life, and you're seeing the sick and those plagued by evil spirits coming to you for deliverance so that you can lead them to Jesus Christ and to know salvation, you're on the front lines of war. And just like any battle, if our front line retreats, we can gain no ground. Those on the front line are going to have the highest opposition. They had an opportunity to run and flee. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." They went right back to what they were doing before, that got them thrown in jail. Now twice. They didn't run and hide because there were souls at stake. Some we have to pull from the grasp of hell's hands. And they were on the front line and they understood how important it was to be right back there. They had their salvation. Should they lose their physical, mortal life, they had eternal life to gain. So they went back to the same spot, now a third time. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." You see, the Sanhedrin were afraid that if Peter and all of the disciples got the general population to believe that they were murderers, that they would overthrow them, that they would lose their power. So they wanted that name to disappear. They knew they were guilty. Even Pilate tried to free Christ several times. He knew Christ was innocent. This is the same group of people that the Sanhedrin was able to get convinced and riled up to demand Jesus' death and the release of Barnabas. Or Barabbas, I'm sorry. The release of Barabbas. Now they're riled up for Jesus. And the Sanhedrin, they're worried. They're scared. They believe the disciples there to bring this man's blood on us. If only they knew the truth in that. The disciples did want to bring Jesus' Christ's blood on all of them to cover their sins, to be the sacrifice for them, to be their Savior. But not a revenge. Not as some sort of vigilante act. But as an act of mercy and grace. But Peter and the other disciples answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." You see, when Peter was before him before and they said, "Don't speak in the name of Jesus Christ," Peter asked him, "Who should we obey, you or God?" That was a question he left with them. Now he's back again in front of them. And he gives them the answer, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." These Jews, to them the Spirit of the Lord dwelt in this holy of holy place, behind this curtain. They had the monopoly on that. That's what they were raised on. Is that the people would come to them. They would be able to go in, and only certain times during the year, and only after certain cleansing rituals had occurred, could they go into the Holy of Holies. To see this Holy Spirit of the Lord. But here it is, this fisherman. Standing before him. Saying, "No, we're the witnesses. The Holy Spirit is given to who God wants to give it to, and he gives it to those who obey him." I don't know if any of those priests, if at any point in their life they ever felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Holy of Holies. but these common men. They felt the Holy Spirit within them. They felt it shake the land around them. They felt it go through them into the lame, into the possessed. They felt His presence. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men. Let them alone. For if this plan or this works is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against it." Now, I don't know if Gamaliel felt the presence of the Holy Spirit emanating from these disciples, but he recognized this was more than just a man-led cult. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were comforted, they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I don't know where you are in your life, but at some point, someone presents to you Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you don't accept that, you may be given more opportunities. You may not. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what have we to gain staying here? Salvation's granted us eternal life in heaven. At that point, we're dead to the world. And we're only alive, left here on this planet, for others. Because there's someone else out there that we're to reach. Maybe that's one person for you. Maybe that's 50 people. But God set somebody in your life. Could be a grandkid. Could be a neighbor. Could be somebody at work. Could be somebody overseas. You don't know. But the Holy Spirit knows God's plan and can guide you where you're supposed to be. These disciples were supposed to be preaching in front of a temple full of leadership that wanted them dead, right on the very front lines. They got threatened. They got jailed. They got beaten. And history even tells us they were martyred for it. We can easily go, oh, but those were the disciples. It happens today. There are countries around the world where the name of Jesus Christ, preaching of Jesus Christ, is not tolerated. Thank the Lord that He fills those people He sends with boldness, just like the disciples. This isn't dead. This still happens today. I hope that we have the same boldness if we're asked to go talk to our neighbor, talk to somebody at work, somebody we meet on the street. The disciples had an opportunity to ask for something easier. It's not what they asked for. They prayed for boldness. I hope we can find it when the opportunity is before us. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for providing a way that we can personally know You directly, to have Your presence inside of us, to be a temple for Your Holy Spirit on a personal basis. I thank You for that. We don't have to rely on anyone else save Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I thank You for providing Him as a way for us to have peace with You. Lord, I pray that You give us each boldness to speak in Your Son's name. Because in no other name can someone find peace with You. Remind us of that, Lord. Humble us when we start to worry about our loss of pride, what someone's going to think about us. Remind us the boldness You've given others in the past and that You're given today, so that we can declare Your name. Heavenly Father, these things we ask in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.